السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا وطبيب قلوبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام، respected elders and dear brothers in Islam, once outside the Jamia Masjid in Delhi, an old man sitting outside the doorstep was repeating the following couplet. And he was saying it in Urdu, ke tu mera khuda nahi na main tera ghulam, tu mera khuda nahi na tu mera ghulam, tu mera khuda nahi na main tera ghulam. Effectively what it meant was that he is saying that you are not my Rabb, you are not my Lord, you are not my Creator, you are not my Allah, and I am not your slave, I am not your servant, I am not subservient to you. And the people who were coming out from the masjid at that time, going past him and hearing the statement, they were passing all sorts of remarks, that this person has become insane, this person has lost his mind, etc., etc. There was one person who had some standing and had some knowledge. He came up to this old man and asked him, that what is the meaning of your statement, and who are you implying? So this person immediately replied that of all the people that have been leaving this masjid, I have found you to be the only person with some sort of understanding and some sort of wisdom. And then he replied that all this while that I have been mentioning these words, I have been addressing them to my inner self, to my nafs, and to my carnal desires. Respected friends, this is a very important and fundamental concept which in each and every Muslim needs to understand and needs to undertake. That is this inner self that we have within us, the nafs and the dictates and desires that we have, which are permeating within us. The control and discipline of this is a farziyat, it is a compulsion on each and every person once he has submitted to the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Today the Muslim Ummah finds itself in an extremely powerful position. If we look at the statistics, as far as numbers are concerned, we are over 1 billion. As far as wealth is concerned, majority of the oil wells belong to the Muslim Ummah. As far as armory and artillery is concerned, there is no shortage of that too. And in every department and sphere of economics or of any other department of life, this Ummah is alhamdulillah extremely powerful. But unfortunately we find that this Ummah is in a state of ghulami and slavery. Despite our power and despite our position, with our wealth we have become the ghulam and the slaves of the West and the Kuffar. With our army and with our armory and artillery we have become the slaves and the helpers and the assisters of the West and the Kuffar, disbelievers. And with whatever other faculty that we have, unfortunately, we have become the slaves and the ghulams and the servants of the West and the kuffar of every other power besides the Muslims. And this is due to one fundamental flaw in the Muslim Ummah, and that is simply referring to the incident that we had quoted above, that each and every one of us has become in some way or the other subservient to the dictates of our inner selves and of our nafs. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protect each and every one of us. This is the fundamental downfall and the flaw of this ummah in present times, and whenever the ummah was in a position of superiority, the cause of the downfall of this ummah was in this one simple aspect. And amazingly enough, the solution to this lies in one fundamental thing also. That is for us to come out of the slavery and to come out of the subservience of our nafs and our inner self, and to align ourselves with the subservience and the slavery of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no path, there is no way, there is no pattern, there is no mannerism that will give a person success, honor, dignity, position, power, authority, besides the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we require proof for this, we can open the kitabs of Sirat, we can open the kitabs of history, we can look into any time of history or any moment, we will find that whenever the Muslims were in dominance and were in authority, then it was due to this one fundamental principle, and that is that the Muslims remained in the subservience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We were the ghulams and the servants of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we had shunned each and every other type of slavery and subservience. Furthermore, the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it is mentioned by ulama, mashayikh and ahlullah, it is the speediest and it is the most honorable, it is the simplest and most respectable way that a person can gain proximity to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. A beautiful illustration has been given, illustrating the path of the sunnah and anything that contradicts the path of the sunnah. If you draw a line on a chalkboard representing the number one, and you put a zero on the right side of that line, it will increase the value of that figure. And each time you add a zero, the value of that figure will increase. If you put one zero, it will become 10. If you put another zero, it will become 100. If you put another zero, it will become 1,000. And so on and so on. Yet if you take that same zero and you put it on the other side of that line, the value of that figure will depreciate. And the more zeros that you put on the left side of that figure, so will the value of that number depreciate. And this is the example of the sunnah. That the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, every time a person makes amal on one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imbibes and imbues the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life, his value and his virtue increases, like how you put zeros next to that one. And the person who adopts the path of innovation, or any path that contradicts the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will be like the person who is putting zeros on the other side of that line, and his value will continue to depreciate. And this reality, and this fundamental aspect, which myself and yourself have discarded today, was perfectly understood by the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the ulama ikram, the mashayikh and the pious predecessors of the past. And they left no stone unturned in ensuring that they do not compromise the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at any time of their life. Whether they were in the midst of battle, whether they were in the most private corner of their home, or whether they were in public, or whether they were in seclusion with themselves, at every moment they had this consciousness that my success and my salvation lies only in abiding to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in totality. We find there is one incident that has been mentioned in the kitabs, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was delivering the khutbah in Masjid al-Nabawi. He was delivering the khutbah in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there were a few sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who were standing around behind, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the instruction to sit. At that point, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was probably, he was coming into the masjid, he was at the doorstep of the masjid, and he heard the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to sit down. Now in this instance, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not intended because he was still coming into the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was intending the other sahaba who were standing at the back. But Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the moment he heard the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to sit right at the doorstep, he took no further step, but he sat down immediately. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed him and said, "Oh Abdullah, I was not intending you, it was intended for somebody else." Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, that, "O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that no sooner did I hear your command, no sooner did I hear your instruction, I had no guts to go one further step." And this is what we call subservience. This is what we call obedience. This is what we call unflinching obedience to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, there is a very famous incident that is mentioned in the books of history, that when the Muslims were advancing towards the Persian Empire, and they had come to the emperor to present to the emperor their cause for their visit and what they had come for, then the guards who were outside firstly told him, "Listen here, you people are very shabbily dressed. You are not appropriately dressed to present yourselves in front of the king. We advise you to go and change your clothes." The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Hazrat Ribi ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied that, "We will not remove these clothes of ours. These are the clothes and this is the shabahat of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and under no conditions and no circumstances will we change our dress." Nevertheless, this was the awe and the robe that these people possessed, that the guards went in and they informed the king that such and such people have come, and this is what they are instructing or demanding. So the king nevertheless allowed them to come in, allowed Hazrat Huzafa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu to come in. At that time, Hazrat Ribi ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu was mending his sword. His sword was damaged during the battle and he was mending it. And the people around there began mocking him. He said that, "You people have come to conquer this empire, this Persian empire, such a powerful empire, yet your sword is not even in a functioning condition." So Hazrat Ribi ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala replied to this person. He said, "You have looked at the sword, you have not looked at the beholder of the sword." He said, "You have looked at the sword, you have not looked at the beholder of the sword." And then he instructed that person to go and bring the most powerful shield that you have in this town. The person went and brought the shield, and Hazrat Ribi ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu struck that shield with one blow and he broke it into two pieces. This was the power of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Nevertheless, they had entered the presidential palace and now they were sitting on the dastarkhan, on the table, and they were having their meals. And it so happened that one Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whilst eating, a morsel had fell onto the tablecloth. And the Sahabi that was next to him nudged him and said, and this Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to pick up that morsel and he put it into his mouth. So the Sahabi next to him nudged him, indicating to him that in this place, that is in Iran at that time, this was something which was considered a deficiency, that if food had fell onto the dastarkhan, you should not pick it up and eat it. Hazrat Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala replied that, "Should I leave the sunnah of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liha ula'il humaqa?" That should I leave the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of these fools, because of these stupid people? So this was the condition of Sahaba, that at every moment they did not look at the circumstance, they did not look at who was around them, they did not look at in whose court they were. Their nazar and their gaze was on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that at no time the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be compromised. And if we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to pick up the books of history and sirat and read that how much Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried and what concern he had for me and you. That at every point in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never forgot his ummah. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making hajj also at every point in Arafat, in Mina, in Muzdalifah, at the Rukn Yamani, at the Multazam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembered his ummah. At the Zamzam well too, there are a few incidents that have been mentioned where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was his habit that he used to drink, and whatever leftover water, he used to present it to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum for the purposes of barakat and blessings. And once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank from the container and he emptied the container into the well of Zamzam. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala questioned him, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today you have acted contrary to your habit. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that I have remembered those people who are coming after me. Myself and yourself. Similarly, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was drinking Zamzam and he gurgled the Zamzam in his mouth and whatever water was in his mouth, he put it back into the Zamzam well. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala again questioned him. He said that I have inserted my saliva into the well of Zamzam for those people who will come after me. So when we drink the water of Zamzam also, let us have this intention and this thought in mind that the saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mixed with this water of Zamzam. Similarly, if we look into the lives of our akabirin, of our pious predecessors, those people who had gained proximity to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we will find that they also had an unflinching fervor and desire to emulate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the best of their ability. Hakim ul-Ummat, Mujaddid al-Millat, Hazrat Shah Mawlana Muhammad Ashraf Ali Sahab Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi, his name is very famous, there is no introduction that is required. He says, once I came home and the meals were prepared and I find that in the meals there is calabash. In Urdu they call it loki, in Gujarati they call it dodi, whatever you want to call it. Hazrat Ashraf Ali Sahab rahmatullah alayhi says that I find that this is presented. And every meal thereafter, for the next 3 days, whenever I come home, I find that this meal is being prepared. That in whatever the meal is, if it is meat or if it is chicken or if it is whatever it is, I find that this calabash has been put as part of the meal. So I questioned my wife, saying that why is it that there is so much of this to eat? That in every meal, I'm finding that this calabash is there. So the Pirani Sahiba, the wife of Hazrat Ashraf Ali Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi, replied that I had read in a kitab that to eat this certain vegetable is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the time I have attained this knowledge, it has now become my desire that as long as this item is available in the market, we will continue eating it. And whenever I instruct the servant to go to the market, I tell him that if calabash is available, then you purchase it. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he sighs and he says that this statement of hers had such an impact on him. And he says that this person, the servant of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, being a woman who is involved in the daily activities of the house, such desire and such concern for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, we sitting in a madrasa and reading hadith every day, sitting in the lectures and bayans, and we are listening to the sunnah and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day, and yet this concern has not come to us. Hazrat Shah Mawlana Ashraf Ali Tanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, we must remember, he is no ordinary person. He is Hakim ul-Ummat, Mujaddid al-Millat, the person who was considered the reviver of our century. He says he went into contemplation for 3 days. He took a muhasabah and a stock of himself, that in my life up till today, how much of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been implemented and how much have I discarded. What type of muhasabah and accountability will myself and yourself have to make, respected friends? If this was the condition and the concern of a person who was of a very, very high rank and stature. Similarly, if we look in the lives and in the incidents of our pious predecessors, you will find there was one person by the name of Hazrat Mawlana Shah Abdul Haq Radolvi rahmatullah alayhi, who was a great alim of Pakistan, and also he was a deputy of Hazrat Mawlana Shah Muhammad Ashraf Ali Sahib Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi. He says that this person had such intense contemplation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that he remained in the state of istighraq and contemplation for years upon years. That he had developed this hal and condition that for years upon years he remained in the contemplation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he remained in a trance. In other words, he was not in his sensible mind. Yet, he never missed one salah with jama'at. He ensured that even in this condition, he did not even know the way to the masjid. He used to make his khadim, his servant, walk in front of him. And his khadim used to repeat the words, haq, haq, haq. And this buzuk used to follow him. And he used to reach the door of the masjid. He used to perform his salah and he used to return home. It has been mentioned that once they had come to the door of the masjid. And this buzuk in this condition of in a trance, not in his complete mind. And he stops at the door of the masjid. And he is not entering the masjid. Now the people around become amazed and they become astounded that what has happened to Hazrat. He does not want to enter the masjid today. Then one person who had understood the situation realized that because of his mental condition, he had forgotten which is his right foot. And therefore he was not entering the masjid because he did not realize or he could not recall which is his right foot. And they themselves took his right foot and put it into the masjid, and thereafter he entered the masjid reading the Masnoon Dua. Now respected friends, this is something which we do every day. Yet what was the condition of these people when they were not in their complete mind? Similarly, there is another incident of a buzuk by the name of Hazrat Shah Mawlana Muhammad Hassan Amritsari Rahmatullah Alayh. Also a very great alim of Pakistan. And he was of such a rank and such a caliber that he was considered the Ashraf Ehsani. He was considered the deputy of Hazrat Tanvir Rahmatullah Alayh. Such was his rank. Once he had to go for an operation to the hospital. And while he was in a state of anesthetic, he was still unconscious. The hospital attendant is now putting on a certain garb or a gown on for him. And obviously these people do not know what the sunnah is, what the sunnah is not. The person is putting his left arm on first. The sunnah is that you put your right arm, but this person is putting his left arm on first. And in this condition of unconsciousness, this buzuk continuously lets his arm down. The person is trying to put the sleeve into the left arm, but he drops his arm each time. So the person who was standing close there, one of his khadims, one of his personal attendants, realized what is happening. That sleeve will never go on if it is going on with the left hand first. That the sunnah had become a habit, it had become the adat, it had become the natural disposition. That even in the state of unconsciousness, he would not allow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be sacrificed. The person came up and put the right hand into the sleeve first, and then the left hand, and then the garb was worn. Now respected friends, it is for myself and yourself to realize that these people, in a state of unconsciousness, where they were not in their correct mind also, what concern and what subservience they had to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, myself and yourself today, in the state of consciousness, having the knowledge, having the ilm, having the opportunity, what is our, how are we associated to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much are we implementing it into our lives? If we want to start off, we can at least start off with apparently emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every sunnah is a great sunnah, and it is obvious that a person cannot emulate every sunnah immediately. It will take a time for a person to learn all the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as time goes, a person can emulate one by one. But there has to be a start. A person can start off with putting his apparent into the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that to associate himself with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, apparent dress and apparent condition. There is a very beautiful couplet which has been mentioned by Hazrat Khaja Majzub sahab rahmatullah alayhi, who was the personal attendant of Hazrat Mashaa Muhammad Ashraf Ali sahab rahmatullah alayhi, and he says that Ya Rab tere mahboob ki shabahat lekar aaya hu, haqeeqat kar de tu main surat lekar aaya hu. He says that, oh my Rab, oh my Allah, that I am weak, I cannot fulfill every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I may slip up here and there, but I have brought his shabahat, I have brought his outer appearance to you, haqeeqat tu kar de, that you make this a reality, you transform this into the true sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may surat lekar aaya hu. I can only present the appearance. It is the kaam of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to give us the reality of it. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the ardent desire to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala release us from the clutches of our nafs, from the slavery of our nafs and our desires. And may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the true slavery and the true bandagi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.